Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to read the first four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and these are among the words that he wrote in his first letter to the congregation that met in the city of Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Of course, this is known as the Great Resurrection chapter of the Bible because Paul dealt with that subject in great detail. If you want to do a thorough study of the resurrection, you certainly need to include 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But as Paul began his teaching on the resurrection, he mentioned the gospel. The word gospel is a very interesting word. It simply means good news. I don't know about you, but I enjoy hearing good news. Well, the gospel is good news. And look at verses 1 and 2. We learn from these two verses that we have some responsibilities that relate to the gospel. We are to stand in it, and we are to keep it in memory. Those are very important responsibilities that we have concerning the gospel. The primary facts of the gospel are revealed in verses 3 and 4. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Those are the primary facts of the gospel. And the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected on our behalf is certainly good news. Quite regularly, I like to take my New Testament and read the accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell us about what our Lord went through at the end of his ministry. He died for our sins. He was buried. But then he rose again the third day. We need to be very familiar with what the Bible teaches concerning the primary facts of the gospel. We're to stand in that particular gospel that Paul's writing about, and we're to keep it in memory. For a long time, I wondered, why did Paul begin a study of the resurrection by pointing out how Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Well, as you go through the chapter, you get down to verse 12, you find that there was a problem in the Corinthian church. There were some people who said there is no resurrection of the dead. Well, Paul dealt with that in great detail. He showed that if there is no resurrection, then Christ wasn't raised. If Christ was not raised, then we're still in our sins and we have no hope. Well, what are the primary facts of the gospel? Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The people who said there is no resurrection were putting a bad reflection on the gospel. They were just saying the gospel is not true. Well, Paul went on to point out that we're in a hopeless and helpless situation if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. But then after covering that, he said, but now is Christ raised. Consequently, we have hope. Well, the gospel is very important. It's good news. And the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day on our behalf is certainly good news. But the gospel is good news in another sense. The gospel is also good news in that there are a number of special blessings associated with the gospel. And in our lesson, we want to concentrate for a little while on four special blessings associated with the gospel. Now, I assure you, there are many more. But in our lesson today, we want to concentrate for just a little while on four special blessings associated with the gospel. I believe that if we are mindful of these blessings, it will certainly encourage us to stand in the gospel and to keep it in memory. Remember, we had those responsibilities concerning the gospel. If we're mindful of the blessings associated with the gospel, it will motivate us to want to stand in it and to keep it in our memories. Today, a lot of emphasis is being placed on blessings. It's recognized as so-called St. Patrick's Day. Of course, we don't put any religious influence on that at all. But there's a lot of emphasis given today on blessings, especially Irish blessings. Well, the Bible deals with some blessings that are much more special than any Irish blessing that we might want to wish someone. Primarily in my family, I come from German blood. But as I understand it, on my grandmother's side, my mother's mother, she was Scotch-Irish, or at least she came from that background. So I guess I do have a little bit of Irish blood in me, primarily German. I can remember my doctor talked to me several years ago. He looked at my last name, and he saw that I'm fair-complected. And he was talking about how I needed to watch how much time I'm in the sun because of some medication that he prescribed for me. He said, German blood, Irish blood, no good. And he was talking about the fact that I have a fair complexion. He was Arabic. So we had some interesting discussions. But he took good care of me, and that's what I appreciated. It broke my heart when he retired. But anyway, a lot of emphasis is being placed today on blessings. Well, we need to be concerned for blessings that are associated with the gospel. If we are constantly mindful of those and we reflect on them, it will certainly encourage us to stand in the gospel and to always keep it in memory. Let's turn to Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. This is one of the many verses in the New Testament that teach us that salvation is associated with the gospel. And that's the first blessing we want to mention, salvation. I know you're familiar with this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Through the gospel, salvation is offered to everyone. That's why Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, commanded that the gospel be preached to every creature or to all nations. Well, salvation is offered through the gospel to everyone. The Lord wants everyone to hear the gospel. However, only hearing the gospel is not sufficient. The Bible teaches that only those who believe and act upon the teachings of the gospel will receive salvation as a blessing. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read verses 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to you, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 17, we read about the occasion when Paul went to Thessalonica and preached the gospel. Apparently, he was not there very long because there was some opposition that rose against him, and he went somewhere else. However, there were some people in Thessalonica who heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it. And Paul is expressing his gratitude in the second letter to those same Christians, how grateful he was that they had received it in the right way, and they had believed it, they had obeyed it. Now, these are the people in Thessalonica who received salvation. Salvation was there for anyone. However, only those who acted upon the teaching of the gospel were the ones who received that very special blessing. Now, the fact that only those who believe the gospel will be saved applies to everyone, including Jews and Gentiles. Let's look at Acts chapter 15 for a moment. Acts chapter 15. When we study this chapter, we need to remember that a problem developed in the early church. There were some who said that in order for Gentiles to be saved, they had to submit to circumcision and keep the law of Moses. Well, when Christ died, he set us free from the law. But there were some people who wanted to bind the teaching of the law of Moses on people who were Christians. Especially did they want to put that burden upon Gentiles who were converted. Well, there was a council held to discuss that particular matter. Peter was there, Paul and Barnabas were there, James spoke up, and the issue was settled. Let's notice something that is mentioned involving Peter. Acts 15, let's start at verse 6. The apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. I think Peter dealt with that issue very clearly. He showed that the gospel is for Jew and Gentile. And you have to keep in mind that for years, one of the designs of the law of Moses was to keep the Israelites separated from pagan people. But when Christ died, he took that law away and made it possible for Jews and Gentiles to be in his one body. See, there was no longer his one body and everyone else didn't have any hope at all. Through the gospel, everyone can be members of that one body. Well, what a blessing it is that we're no longer kept separate from God. The gospel made it possible for us to learn about what Jesus did on our behalf. We learn his requirements, and then when we obey those requirements, we're able to enjoy the blessing of salvation. There's one plan. There's one gospel. It applies to everyone. So salvation is the first blessing that we want to mention that's associated with the gospel. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We want to read a few verses starting at verse 8. The point that we want to make from these verses is that life is associated with the gospel. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When we analyze these verses, we see that life is associated with the gospel. Now, the true gospel focuses on Jesus and his will. Why did Jesus come? Well, during his ministry, he revealed a number of objectives that he came to accomplish. He touched on one particular matter in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Well, as we concentrate on the gospel, which focuses on the Lord and his will, we see that Jesus came to provide the abundant life. In order to receive that blessing, we have to receive the gospel and act upon its teachings. Salvation and life are two very special blessings mentioned in the Bible in connection with the gospel. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and read verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, in the context, Paul is listing out the different items of the armor of God. He's already told us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? He said so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As he's listing out the different parts of the armor of God, notice what he mentions in this verse, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The blessing we want to mention in connection with the gospel from this verse is peace. Our world could stand some peace today, couldn't it? Well, Jesus came to provide peace. Now, as we think about that, we need to look in two different directions. First, we need to look up. Jesus came to make peace possible between God and man. And the gospel is tied in with that. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And let's begin at verse 11. Now, this letter was written to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. And Paul mentions their former lives before they became Christians. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We need to point out from these verses that the gospel makes peace possible between man and God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we learn about the consequences of sin. Sin causes us to be separated from God. The gospel makes it possible for us to be at peace with God. When he mentions the fact that before becoming Christians, we're pictured as being without God in the world, or without hope, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, those are some serious matters. Thankfully, the gospel makes it possible for us to be at peace with God. The gospel tells us about Jesus dying for our sins, being buried, and being raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He did all that to make it possible for us to be freed from our sins, and we can be at peace with God. You know, every once in a while we hear about someone who maybe has had a conflict with another individual, and they've been, sometimes the word alienated is used, from somebody else. And then someone or something will happen, someone takes the initiative to overcome that. And sometimes you see family members reunited. That's a great blessing. I enjoy reading about Jacob and Esau. They were alienated from one another for years. When God called Jacob to go back to his homeland, one of his concerns was he had to meet Esau. He presented Esau with the great blessing of many animals. I can't help but think that Jacob was very concerned about meeting Esau. Now, before that reunion took place, Jacob spent the whole night wrestling with an angel. And he would not release that angel until the angel blessed him. Maybe that was helping him to prepare for overcoming his conflict with his brother. But when they met one another, they embraced. And you can't help but think that was a very special reunion. When you hear about something like that taking place, it's very special. How much more special is it for man to be reconciled to God? The gospel makes that possible. I mentioned that when we talk about peace, we need to look in two directions. We just talked about having peace with God. What about peace with a fellow man? Well, let's continue reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he, that is speaking of Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one. Now, if you'll look at the context very carefully, when he talks about both, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The gospel makes peace possible between men, including Jews and Gentiles. You see, as we study the gospel, we learn what Christ did. We've already mentioned this earlier. These verses mention it. Christ took that middle wall of partition away when he abolished the law and established his new covenant. That law had kept Jews and Gentiles separate for all those centuries, but Christ took that away. He made it possible for Jews and Gentiles to be reconciled to one another. When we see such hatred in our world today between groups of people, that's very sad. It doesn't please the Lord. He came to make peace possible between men. You see why it's such a serious matter when the gospel is rejected? Peace is a special blessing. The gospel makes it possible. Peace with God and peace with our fellow man. Now let's turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. This has already been mentioned in other verses, but the verses we're about to read show that hope is associated with the gospel. Colossians 1, starting at verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Well, the gospel teaches us how to be reconciled to God. We just touched on that when we talked about peace. And this same letter touches on how we're reconciled to God, or when that reconciliation takes place. Look at chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. These verses explain how and when we're reconciled to God. The gospel makes that possible. And then the gospel makes it possible for us to be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the Lord's sight. But I want you to notice at verse 23, this is back in chapter 1, begins with that little word, if. That indicates that being presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the Lord's sight is conditional. In order to be reconciled to God and to be prepared to face the Lord when He returns, we must continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, these are four special blessings associated with the gospel: salvation, life, peace, and hope. Now, according to what Peter wrote, as well as other verses, there will be no hope for those who refuse to obey the gospel. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's read verses 17 and 18. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Now, Peter wrote his letters to Christians who were undergoing hardship in the first century, and his letters were designed to help them remain faithful unto the Lord. Notice what he says in these verses. 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let's receive the gospel, believe it, obey it, stand in it, and always keep it in our memories. And we've touched on four very special blessings. There are many more revealed in the Bible in association with the gospel. As we think about salvation, life, peace, and hope, I think we all agree those are special blessings, and they are provided through the gospel.